Hey there, Stories on Tap podcast listeners. Last week was Valentine's Day, and I don't know about you, but mine was unforgettable. I shared a peanut butter milkshake with my boyfriend at the Street of Shops. My boyfriend really loves me. I can tell because when the waitress came to take our dinner order, I asked for a grilled cheese with sauerkraut and stewed tomatoes inside the sandwich. And my boyfriend, he didn't scrunch up his nose or stare down at his menu. No, ladies and gentlemen, my boyfriend smiled at me. Last week, Stories on Tap celebrated Valentine's Day at the Cherielli Cafe in Lewisburg with a special Valentine's Day show. The theme was Love Hurts, and today on the podcast, we have the top winners. Here's our third place winner, Carrie.
Okay, my story is about first love. And I don't know what you were doing in the 80s, but I was in love with Michael Jackson. And the way that he crooned and sang to me, it was so personal. When he sang PYT, he was talking about me. Sorry, everybody else. So Michael was definitely it. And on Wednesday nights, I had a babysitter who came over, Ellen Shadle, and she was long dark hair. She wore esprit clothes, and she was a dancer. She was like everything that I wanted to be when I grew up. And she also had the VHS cassette tape of the making of Michael Jackson's Thriller, and we watched it religiously. And what that meant was that we had a ritual. And so before we watched the VHS cassette tape of Michael Jackson's Thriller, we would go to the kitchen and get bowls. And when we started watching the video, we would hold the bowls under our chins in case we drooled. And that he was Jerry Curl. Ooh, the way he made me feel. Okay. And so for a long time, it was just me and Michael. And then one day, at the end of fourth grade, I was passed a note. And I opened up the note, because you trade notes in fourth grade. I mean, I'm a teacher and I even know that. I opened up this note and it said, "Dear Carrie, do you like me? Check yes or no." Ooh. From Brian. And I thought, who's Brian? I didn't know who Brian was, but I loved him. Because he obviously had really good taste, right? Okay, so I had read, I'd watched Michael Jackson videos, I'd read Julie Balloon books. And I think I'd seen 16 Candles by then. Well, maybe not. Like the edited version that my dad made for me or something. And so I knew I couldn't just be like, oh, yeah. And so I added a box that said, of course, maybe. And I sent it back to whoever had passed it to me. And so then, like, a couple days later, one of my friends was like, oh, that's Brian, when we passed in the hallway. And I was like, well, he's not Michael, but he'll do. Of fifth grade, it was really serious when we went back to school. We talked after, when I get home from school, he would call me before my parents got home. And at Christmas, he gave me tapes. He gave me, listen to how cool this guy is, Run DMC's Raising Hell and Beastie Boys' Licensed to Ill. Seriously, best boyfriend I've ever had. Still to this day. So, anyway, I also knew from my Judy Balloon books and, all these movies that I had snuck to watch, that eventually there was going to be a kiss. And so my cousin and I orchestrated this grand scenario where Brian Barkowiak was going to go over to Gary Ballone's house because Gary Ballone lived near my cousin, and then they were going to ride their bikes over and we were going to hang out.
Woo!
And the kiss was going to happen.
Woo!
And guess what? It did.
Oh!
And you know what else? There were handcuffs involved.
Oh!
Fifth grade. Shy, and that's why I'm like turning red and shaking right now. Anyway, so it was like going on and on, and I would not kiss him. Like, I would try, I think there was probably like a little Eskimo kissing going on, as it was called back in the day. And like Gary and Shayna even were like, "You just do this," and I could not do it. And I don't know where the handcuffs came from because we were outside, but somehow the deal was made is that, we would put handcuffs on and then we'd only be able to be set free after I kissed him. Right? And this was like really exciting and hilarious for a while. until I just let everybody down because I was too much of a chicken. So after like 2 hours, they were like, we're just taking them off and we're going home. So we're going back to the house, and I lived in Buffalo, New York, and in Buffalo, it's cold in the winter. And so my uncle had built my cousin this little like room, this like little booth at the end of the driveway to wait in for the bus. And so on our way back to the house, I was like, I felt such a coward. We had to get this over with. So I was like, Brian, let's go do it. I promise I'll do it this time. So we go into the booth, and after like 5 minutes, I finally work up the courage to kiss him. So it was like, you know, we got closer and closer, and then I was like, ah! And I mean, this went on for way too long, and eventually he did it. He planted one on me, and the thing that Judy Bloom and Michael Jackson did not warn me about was tongue. And I was so shocked by this tongue that I jumped back, and there was a nail sticking out of the ceiling of the little booth that I hit my head on. And that was my first lesson that love hurts.
Our second place Love Hurts winner, Gary Hardcastle.
I know some of you at least think I'm basically a nice guy, but I'm actually a right bloody bastard. That's at least what Dot would have told you in a spring evening in 2001. She was standing in my front yard, and I had broken up with her. And we were both adults, so I can't lay this on the perspective of youth, and also Dot was not British. She had listened to a lot of punk music. When she got angry, she became sort of a British punk, which explained the bloody right bastard part. In Wisconsin, this sounded very odd and kind of funny. I made sure she didn't see me laugh. I was behind my front door. Dot was hurt. I had broken up with her. She loved me. And I think it's important in light of the the trauma we've heard here tonight to appreciate that love hurts, but that hurt can cause great things. It can motivate you to, I mean, it must have taken a lot of work to pull out pages 20 at a time. I don't think I could do that, and do all the other things. In particular, well, one of the things I gave up when I broke up with Dot were tickets to see David Sedaris, who at the time, you know, you're thinking, why did you break up with Dot? Sounds like a great romance. At the time, and still, was my absolute favorite author. I think I had maybe read him for a year and a half at that point. And his readings were, you know, very hard to get into. And he had a reading down in Madison, and Dot and I had two tickets. And I realized that wasn't going to happen. Well, I left, in fact, and came here in the fall of 2002, just a few months after that. And I stayed in touch with Dot as friends, tried to maintain a friendship. And one afternoon, I got a call from her. And she said she had a gift for me, something to send me that she really wanted to give me. And I said, that sounds great. And she said, just promise me that when you get it, before you open it, you give me a call because you have to know the story. Now, Dot and I had had up and down times, but we were trying to maintain a friendship. And I thought, this is a wonderful thing. And this package came in the mail. And I saw the return address. So I called Dot and I said, I got the gift. And she said, OK, listen, I went to see David Sedaris. And afterwards, he makes a habit of receiving all the people that stand in line to say hello to him and get autographed books. And he also, and I don't know if this is still true, but it may be, he also is, in fact, very generous with his time and will talk with people and such. And so she said to me, I was in line for David Sedaris, the line was long, but I got up to him and I had a copy of his book. And I said, talk to him for a bit and asked him a few questions. And he was very, very charming and very friendly. And then she handed him the book, and she said, would you make this out to Gary? And he said, oh, is that your boyfriend? And she said, well, it was, but he broke up with me. And David Sedaris looked at her and nodded and wrote an inscription in the book, which I have here. And no. This came from the hurt that love causes, but it's one of my most valued possessions. I'm going to read the inscription to you. It's very short. I know that's in violation of the spirit, or maybe not the spirit, but the letter of the law. And I also will apologize for one very important word of profanity. In full, this inscription reads, to Gary, you fucked up David Sedaris. From my favorite author, every time I open this book, I'm reminded by the woman I broke up with, in the hand of my favorite author, the mistake I made, or at least the choice I made. So love does hurt, but boy, you can end up with a fantastic book as a result.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first place Stories on Tap winner, Steva Stowell Hardcastle.
Pica. Anybody know what that is?
Disease where you eat stuff.
It's stuff that you probably really shouldn't, that people would think is just like really random. It's not like a hamburger, it's like a rock. Why would you eat that? So as a veterinarian, the veterinarian theme again, dogs eat stuff. And some things we understand why they love to eat that stuff. They love to eat the cheese that fell on the floor, or the little piece of popcorn that fell on the floor. They love that. It doesn't hurt them, really. So those are the kinds of stuff we understand why they eat. And then they have stuff you have no idea. Why does your dog eat this stuff? Can anybody shout out anything that a dog might eat that you say, what the hell? Cat poop.
Rubber balls.
Rubber balls.
Peach poop.
Why do you do that? That's dumb. You do it over and over again. So, you know, dogs who come in, sometimes their owners don't know that they've eaten something, right? But they're not, the dog isn't eating, maybe they're throwing up, you know, they're just feeling kind of off, you know, they're stretching, their belly hurts. And so you're taking your history, and sometimes the owner says, well, you know, Yeah, they were chewing on that blanket the other day. Or, yes, I just gave him a stuffed toy and part of the stuffing is out. Or, boy, he loves to go outside and chew on sticks. And so, then as a veterinarian, you kind of have something to go on. But sometimes the owner swears, my dog doesn't eat anything. I swear. He's good, he doesn't get the trash, he doesn't do anything. He couldn't have eaten anything. So as we go on, we get our little diagnosis and we maybe do some x-rays and we see something in there. Owner says, yeah, he loves to chase after the golf balls when I'm in the backyard and I'm chipping, and he goes, and he could have swallowed one of those, and there it is on the x-ray. So you take in the surgery, and it's exciting, but there's no real mystery to that. It's fun, but no real, what did we call it a couple weeks ago? Treasure hunt. Now, sometimes you can do an x-ray, and boy, there is a suspicion there's something in there, but you know, we're looking at you like, I don't know what that is, but it sure looks suspicious. And that gathers excitement in the hospital, right? It's like, oh, we've got an exploratory today. What's going to be in there? All right, so sometimes dogs eat things and they will pass them. You know, I think that hurts. Rocks. Bits of stick, mulch, plastic bags. I mean, there's nothing better than getting down, pulling that plastic bag out the other end, right? It hurts. And they love doing it. But the best thing is, as a veterinarian, is doing that exploratory when you don't know what you're going to find. And we have jars of this stuff. It's great for show and tells and open houses. So we had one. I'm trying to stay on my 5 minutes. So we had one, and the owner had no idea what this dog could eat. So we take her to surgery, and again, it's that you open, you're like, okay, where's it gonna be? Stomach? Intestine? You're like, oh no, there's something in the stomach. All right, owner, pull it out. What is this? And it's something fabric. Now dogs sometimes eat socks, or pantyhose, or a rag, or something, but this is a pair of underwear. And one of the things that owners really like is seeing what you've pulled out of their dog. It solves the mystery, right? So we usually wash off whatever this item is, be it, you know, the part of the remote control, the part of the bike handle, you know, whatever. So we wash off this pair of underwear. And we call the owners and we say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we found underwear. We're going to save it for you. And lo and behold, Mrs. Smith does not recognize this six of And love in so many ways hurts.
Today to the Cherry Alley Cafe, Heather Adams, Chris Wheeler, Lydia Hall, and Aaron Lacera. Thanks also to Ethel Gutschall and Ralph Wilson. The music on our podcast today was by Aaron Lacera, who is half of the music duo Key of V. I'm Julie Louisa Hagenbuch for Stories on Tap in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.